The federal government is urging Muslim communities to be more proactive in identifying and reporting those who've become radicalised. There are reports Bourke Street attacker Hassan Khalif Shire Ali may have been psychotic when he stabbed one person and injured two others in Melbourne's CBD on Friday. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says there's no excuse for the violence.
This bloke, radicalised here in Australia with extreme Islam, took a knife and cut down a fellow Australian in Bourke Street. I mean, I'm not going to make excuses for that. Of course, issues of mental health and all these other things are important. Those things lead
was
to many other...
Was he a terrorist?
Yes, he was.
He was just a madman?
No, he was a terrorist. He was a radical extremist terrorist.
Tony Bourke is the Shadow Minister for Multiculturalism and Citizenship. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hi.
Hassan Khalif Shire Ali was reportedly suffering from mental health problems. If he was psychotic, does it change the nature of what he did?
I think we need to get the facts. When something as horrific as what happened on the weekend occurs, it's understandable that everybody wants to be able to rationalise it as quickly as they can. But if we're going to be serious about national security, and we all need to be, we need to let the investigators gather the facts so that we can try to work out as best we can how we can prevent something like this into the future. But at the moment, you know, it's too easy for us all to hear one snippet of information and say, oh, that'd fix it, or that's the cause. I think we do national security an injustice if we pretend we've got immediate answers when we should, in fact, be gathering the facts and then listening to the agencies and making serious decisions about how we can best protect people.
Was Hassan Khalif Shire Ali a terrorist in your view?
I don't know. I don't know the facts yet. From what has been presented, what's been presented would say that is true. But there's new pieces of information coming out. This happened only very recently. And you know, it may well be that that is the considered conclusion. It may well be that he was in touch with people overseas in a way that we currently think he wasn't. We don't know yet. And there's, in politics today, I think there's this great unwillingness to ever accept that there's a moment in time when there's doubt and there's a moment in time when you don't yet have all the information. But national security is too important to rush headlong into thinking whatever we know right now is all we will ever know.
Okay, but what we do know is that the police and also ASIO had him on their list. They cancelled his passport. What does that tell you?
Oh, all the evidence is that that this man was involved in, well, was a threat to national security. That's why his passport was cancelled. That's all the evidence that we have. And so our authorities, and we have to back our authorities, had reason to believe that there was a real chance of this man being involved in terrorist activities, but they also weren't at the point where they were at the point where they thought he must not be allowed to go overseas. They weren't at the point where they thought he should be incarcerated in Australia. So exactly what's happened here and the extent to which mental health was involved and all the other issues, we'll know all of that soon. And the conclusion you put to me, on the face of it, is very likely to be the conclusion that the authorities come back with. I worry when we rush in the first 48 hours saying, okay, now we know how to solve this.
The Prime Minister has suggested that imams should be aware when a member of their congregation becomes radicalised. Is that a reasonable proposition?
In this case, some of the reports are that this man hadn't been in touch with his local mosque for 12 years. So I don't know the extent to which that would help with this, but there may be other information that'll emerge. Certainly what Scott Morrison has described there is exactly what a very large number of imams do, and he knows that because he's got the access to the National Intelligence Services that are very regularly thanking the different religious leaders for the assistance they provide in national security. So, of course, it's a sort of it's a sort of information that you would want people to have. If someone hasn't visited for 12 years, I'm not sure how they'd get it.
Do you agree, though, that they should be doing more to spot infiltrators?
I'm sure there are some who need to do more. I'm sure that's true. I also know the very large number, and I know that Scott Morrison knows this because he has acknowledged it to them, but he acknowledges it to them privately, and it's not always quite the same message publicly. The security agencies' best allies are very often the religious leaders. No doubt there are some who can and should do more. But I think the message that we also need to be making publicly is we do need to be acknowledging the extraordinary level of cooperation that we have from these religious leaders, the extraordinary level of cooperation and support we have from this community. Now, we had the horrific murder that we had on the weekend, but we don't yet have evidence, and maybe it'll come, but we don't yet have evidence that in any way there was a local hate preacher who was connected here. The only evidence that I've seen is there was something in the order of 12 years since he'd had contact with the local mosque. Now, maybe he was in contact somewhere, I don't know. But his radicalisation came from somewhere. If it came from overseas, then it came from overseas, and that's what we need to look at.
The Home Affairs Minister.
I haven't seen any evidence.
You haven't seen any evidence. Okay, well, the Home Affairs Minister, Peter Dutton, has suggested examining pathways to citizenship in the wake of the attack, and they've previously put this on the agenda as well. Is that a good idea?
This person, alleged from what I've seen, came here at the age of 9. So I'm not sure that citizenship rules would have had a particular bearing on him. That said, the last time citizenship rules were put to the Parliament, Peter Dutton claimed they were a national security issue. None of the national security agencies had actually recommended the rules. And the sorts of things that were in those rules were things like putting the same level of English language test that is required for university entrance, but only applying that if you come from one of the 5 English-speaking nations where the majority of population... So if you don't come from one of the 5 English-speaking nations where the majority of the population is white, it was an extraordinarily bad piece of legislation that wasn't based on national security.
So it doesn't deserve a relook in the wake of new events?
Well, I can't see a link between those issues and these events. I just can't. And no evidence has emerged of this yet. Whenever there's a legitimate national security issue and the advice comes from a national security authorities, we have a way of dealing with this. And the way that we deal with it is it goes to the Intelligence Committee of Parliament, and on every occasion we have ended up with a bipartisan recommendation to keep people safe. We've always managed to do that. On the way through, there's been attempts by some, and it often is Peter Dutton, sadly, to try to say, oh, Labor doesn't support national security, and to try to say, because this committee process is still going, that Labor hasn't signed up yet and somehow that's a threat. He knows that his own Liberal members work productively on that committee. That committee makes serious recommendations on national security, and so far, on the 10 separate occasions, I think it is, that the government's come to us saying there are additional powers on national security advice that we need to look at, we've always ended up with a unanimous position in the Parliament.
The government has also called on Labor to pass a bill which will give authorities greater access to encrypted messaging apps. And of course, that is an issue because that's often the way people who are radicalised can communicate with each other. Why would they use a different way where the police can pick it up right away? Is Labor inclined to support that bill?
Oh, it's before the committee right now.
But are you inclined to support the bill?
Well, I can only give you the record of what's happened with every other bill that's gone to that committee, which is sometimes there have been significant amendments because the legislation did need to be tightened, and those amendments have always gone through unanimously. On a bipartisan basis. So what's the point? Even the Liberal members of that committee don't sign up to saying we look at a bill unamended. We'll just go and give everything a rubber stamp unamended. We're dealing with something really serious. And what Peter Dutton has asked for today is to say we won't go through the national security process that we go through on every other national security law. And I've got to say, there's more politics than there is safety in that sort of approach.
Just a final issue. The government is still considering plans to distribute new migrants across states and territories based on the numbers those states and territories feel like they can deal with. Is that a good idea in principle?
It's something that already happens. It's always been the case during the budget process that the states consulted on the numbers, and that's been ever thus. What we've had today is just another occasion where the government put something on the front page of the paper saying, here's our new population policy. Scott Morrison doesn't back it in his doorstop during the day. And then we end up with a new thought bubble a bit later. Like, we're not in a position where we're going to respond to every thought bubble that Scott Morrison comes up with.
Tony Burke, thank you so much for your time.
No, thanks, Patricia.
And that's Tony Burke, Shadow Minister for Multiculturalism and Citizenship. We did, of course, have some wind. That was the sound of wind, my friends, which, of course, made that phone line not ideal, but I still think we got a sense of what Tony Burke thinks on this issue, this attack in Melbourne on Friday, the broader implications, whether it is whether this man, you know, had mental health issues, terror-related. He says he needs a lot more facts before he can come to solid conclusions. Tony Burke there, the Shadow Minister for Multiculturalism and Citizenship. 0418 226 576 is our text line.